is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, friends. It's great to be with you here at Bible Home Church. You know, with every passing day, I'm sure we're getting closer to the time when Jesus Christ will return. All the signs are there. I'm telling you, I just feel the imminency of His return. I have a feeling we're going to go through some tragedy, though, before He does return, some tribulation. I don't believe we're going to go through the Great Tribulation. I know we'll be gone, but God never promised us there would be no tribulation. So don't expect that everything is going to be rosy and prosperity, because we may suffer some very hard times. But there's promise in the Bible. You know, one of the things that I think is astounding about God's Word is its biblical certainty and its mathematical certainty. Biblical certainty, well, what does that mean? It means that everything in the Bible that God said would come true does come true. That's a prophetic surety. But everything in it is historically correct. And listen to this, the Bible is mathematically pure. There is a great power to mathematics. You know, over the years, anyone who has been able to solve certain mathematical formulas has been labeled a genius. Well, today we're going to be looking at the greatest genius that could ever live, who has ever lived. And of course, His name is Christ Jesus. In His Word, you will find mathematical understandings that defy common sense and our own imaginations, and yet they're powerful. We're going to be looking at biblical mathematics. There are numbers in the Bible. Now, a lot of people just scorn this subject, and very few pastors will even touch on it. They say, well, I can't even believe there's anything important about numbers in the Bible. Well, that's why we're going to have so much fun. We're starting a series on numbers in the Bible, biblical mathematics. Now, if you've studied math in school, and we all have we not? It may have been a few years for some of us. You'll know that there is a certainty to math that can't be found anywhere else. It seems like 2 plus 2 can only equal 4. And, 5 times 5, or multiplied by 5, or 5 square, as it is also called, 5 times 5, can only equal 25. There's a solidity to it. There's something we can trust. There's a bedrock of evidence to that effect. That's what makes it even more astonishing that God engineered the Bible so it would have mathematical certainty. It's a guaranteed thing. And this is going to build up your faith tremendously. You know, it did me when I began to really research the numbers in the Bible. Now, everybody knows that old evil number, 666. God put that in the Bible. It says the number of the beast will be 666. Well, if numbers weren't important, why did God give that exact number for the beast? Why does the beast have to have a number? And why did God identify him as 666? Oh, we'll be talking about that too. I've always thought it was interesting. John chapter 6, verse 66. I'm not even going to tell you what it says. See there? You're going to have to listen to this series. Oh, I bet some of you right now, you're like me, you're curious, you're grabbing for your Bible. You want to know what John 6, verse 66 is. And when you read it, you stagger. You better be sitting down because you see the power of God's Word. Some will say, well, Tex Mars, you're just mystical. You're getting into those esoteric areas. Well, you know, there's a lot of mysteries in the Bible. It's fun to even realize that Jesus Christ was unknown to most of the old prophets, at least other than, Abraham, where he met with Melchizedek, and many people believe that was either Jesus or a type of Jesus. And others say, well, you know, there are other occasions when prophets met Jesus, but we do know that for the most part, Israel was totally unaware that Jesus was, you know, who he is. You see, Jesus and the gospel was the mystery of godliness. There's a mystery of iniquity. Ah, there we have two. The Apostle Paul talks about that. The mystery of godliness and the mystery of iniquity. Totally opposites. I'd say 100% opposite. You could also say, you know, 360 degrees opposite. Let's see there. You can 180, right? I'm already being corrected over here. That's true. Well, I was trying to go a whole circumference. You can't do that. Then you get back to Christ Jesus, don't you? So you just go 180 and you get on the other side of the circle. Well, in any case, we're going to have so much fun in this series, and it will bless you, it will inspire you, and it will make you understand the power that is found in God's Word. Well, many of you want to know who's talking. Well, my name is Tex Mars. Sometimes I forget to give my name here on the air. I get so excited about what I'm going to talk about and God's message. I forget everything else. Wanda says that sometimes, you know, we'll go somewhere in the car and I'm really not that old, folks, but as we're going down the road, I say, now, where are we going, Wanda? I have to be reminded of where I'm going because all the time I'm thinking about the ministry and all those things just go to my mind. I just feel like I remember reading one time, I'm not comparing myself to Albert Einstein in intelligence, how though that he got so focused on his scientific work that he was really, he's rather ignorant about other things. They said that down in the building where Albert Einstein worked, some people saw him down there and he was just banging away at an old Coke machine. And it was one of those that had that, you know, the handle on it. You had to push it down. You put in probably a dime back then, and then you just push the handle down. Then the Coke came out relatively easy. But they said Albert Einstein, he would just befuddle on how to operate that Coke machine. You know, a genius, but he couldn't figure out how to get a Coke for a dime. And a young man came by, was an office boy, and said, can I help you, doctor? He said, well, how does this infernal machine work? He goes, well, you just put the dime in this little hole, sir, and you just press down this lever and see, you get your Coke out of it. That's supposed to be a true story. Well, that's sort of like me sometime. I'm not an Albert Einstein in the first place, and then lo and behold, I get my mind so clouded up with things, I forget what's important. Or maybe they're not so important. Maybe God wants me to be befuddled with His Word. In other words, you know, everything else can just go to pot. Well, in any case, thank God I have Wanda here to lead me along the way and make sure that I get to where I'm going and all of that. And I can think on some things sometime. Love to hear from you. And of course, if you're able to afford it and or the Holy Spirit leads you to do so, we would love your financial help as well. But if you have a prayer need, you don't need to send any money with it. We don't charge you to pray for you. We'll be glad to do that. Any of your needs at all, we want to hear from you. Will you let me know? I also would like to hear from you if you've got a loved one that's sick or ill in the hospital, or maybe you've been diagnosed with a sickness. We want to plead your case before the Lord. And I've bragged so much, I'm going to brag again. God hears my prayers. Yes, He does. He hears yours too. But isn't it nice to have somebody that agrees with you for what you want and what you need and what is the will of God. Yes, that's right. We'll pray for you. I promise you, if you will let me know your needs, I will personally pray for you. All right? So just please let us know that. And it's our privilege. Prayer is a privilege. It's not a burden at all. Believe me, it's a blessing for me to pray for you. It does me more good than it does you, probably, because it's faithfulness to God. It gives me an opportunity to go before Him and say, my good friend, and I give Him your name, need your help, Lord. And He listens. Okay, so we're going to have some music now. This is a song that I've always loved. It's not an old tune at all. It's by a lady named Sherry Easter, and it's on one of those Gaither albums. Bill Gaither and Friends. And it's just a beautiful song. You're going to like this. And right after Sherry Easter sings this song about roses going to bloom again, we'll begin with part one of The Amazing Power of Numbers in the Bible, or Biblical Mathematics. God bless each of you. Here's Miss Easter.
I planted a little rose bush, and I tended it with care. Its buds began to blossom, the sweet fragrance filled the air. But when winter came, withered, the petals drooped and fell to the ground. My heart sank and but I'd forgotten who had made it. And he said, roses will bloom again. Just wait and see. Don't mourn what might have been. Only God knows how and when. But roses will bloom wife of 40 years, cherished every day they had and held the memories dear. He never dreamed he'd bear me love and go on to live alone. When he lays rose to rest, he looked to heaven and tried his
God knows how and when, but
today we're going to be discussing a fascinating subject. I think it's fascinating because, I mean, if we could understand it, we would know how to actually construct new worlds. We would be the creator of universes. And I don't think we're ever going to be able to fully understand it. But God is the master mathematician, and he understands the great secrets of numbers. And so the topic today is going to be biblical mathematics, the amazing power of numbers in the Bible. Numbers in the Bible. What is their meaning? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it mediocre? Can it tell our destiny? I think it's just so majestic how God has constructed the Bible. And I'm convinced he has constructed the whole world, the whole universe with numbers. There are a few mysteries perhaps we can divine, we can look at with God's help today. And I hope you'll stay with me. You'll discover some things, I believe, in this program about numbers that you cannot imagine. Well, now if you're saying to me now, Tex Mars, I never finished math in college. In fact, I avoided it in school, in high school, even elementary school. I can barely add 2 plus 2. I understand that. You know, I'm not so keen on math myself. And I remember all those grueling hours. Oh, when I had to learn algebra and all that in school. Oh, it was terrible. It was nerve-wracking for me even. And I sort of have a scientific bent of mind. But believe me, what we're going to be examining today has nothing to do with algebra or trigonometry or calculus. You see, the Bible is constructed in such a way that it matters not your education. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says that no man needs to teach you, but the Holy Spirit will instruct you in all things. So if you're out there scratching your head and saying numbers and math, oh no. Those are the things I avoid. Don't avoid today's. You're going to enjoy it, I'm convinced. And it'll be revealing. God, is he the master mathematician? Well, I'm convinced of that. You know, I was reading not too long ago the Gospel Truth publication, a very interesting article about math in the Bible. They say here that the rule for all theoretical mathematics is that a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. Sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? Think of that. A straight line is the shortest distance between two points. It's simple, but it's profound because it's from this theorem that all other theorems come in geometry, analytics, calculus, and so forth. And you know, that's biblical. Jesus said in Matthew 7:14, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." He says the way to him is straight and narrow. Oh, I like that. A straight line is the shortest distance between two points. I really like that. And that line leads right to Jesus. A lot of people go on detours and they make a big, big mistake. Well, you know, when we turn to God, the Bible makes very clear that the number 7 is a very holy number. It's the number of perfection. Number 1 is also a tremendous number. The number 1 means unity. 1. The Lord thy God, Israel, is 1. We just have 1 God. 3 aspects. Some people call them persons, but I don't like that because God can't be a person. You know, the Holy Spirit is not a person. But there's certainly 3 aspects to God. 3 parts, 3 divisions. I don't know what you would call them, but they're 1. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And these 3 are 1. A lot of people don't understand that. Now, that's really mysterious holy math, isn't it? How can 3 be 1? Are there really 3? Well, yes, but they're 1. You know, a lot of people get mixed up on that. They say there's 3. The guy next door says, they're one. And then this guy hollers out, no, they're three. And this guy says, they're one. Well, the Bible has the answer for that. It says there are three that bear record in heaven, and these three are one. Well, so you got it right there, don't you, my friends? There are three, but they're one. That's sort of a mathematics that seems to get people to scratching their heads. And yet, if you understand that, I think you're going to understand a lot of holy biblical mathematics. Well, let's look at this number seven. It's God's perfect number. Did you know that Egypt experienced 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine? When the city of Jericho was captured, the people and seven priests who had seven trumpets marched around the city seven times, and victory was theirs. Every seventh year, the land of the Israelites was not to be cultivated or planted. Solomon spent 7 years building the temple. After its completion, he held a feast for 7 days. Naaman washed seven times in the river. In Revelation, just imagine, seven, that's mentioned all the time. Seven churches, seven lampstands, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, seven stars, seven spirits. The number of perfection. In fact, 50 times, more than 50 times, you'll find the number used in the book of Revelation. Well, there is a revolution, as I tell you. Something incredible happens to dramatically revolutionize the world in the book of Revelation. The number of seven is so powerful in its use in the Bible. Think about God as the master mathematician. They say that light, and remember now, Jesus is the light of the world. In him there is no darkness. In the sphere of light, is it not true that there are exactly seven colors? So if God is light, seven colors? Oh, the number of perfection, seven colors. They merge together, these seven colors in the spectrum, to form one. One God. One is the number of God. Oh, we read in 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5, God is light and in him is no darkness. Remember that on the first day, day one, God divided the light from the darkness. God is one. And on day one, he said, you know, here is the light and here is the darkness. He divided it. Oh, there's none of Satan, none of that darkness in God. It's interesting, too, when he perfected the world, he created seven continents. Europe, Asia, Africa, North America, South America, Australia, Antarctica. Then he gathered the water into seas. And we have seven seas, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica. Numerical patterns in the Bible. And numerical patterns in geography and geology. And even in your human body. You know, it was only in our generation that they discovered DNA. They say our body is made up of numerical computations. Everything is made up of DNA. And it's not just a substance, it's how matter is mathematically put together. It's sort of like a recipe. And if you take out one element, well, it becomes something else. And God evidently created the whole world through such a perfected math that really we cannot even imagine. I like the number seven quite a bit. I really do. Did you, if you remember your Bible, Abraham had a sevenfold blessing. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. A sevenfold blessing. God said, I will make of thee a great nation, number one. I will bless thee, number two. I'll make thy name great, number three. Thou shalt be a blessing, number four. I will bless them that bless thee, number five. And curse him that curseth thee, number six. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. A sevenfold blessing, perfect blessing. My friend, could you stand a sevenfold blessing today from God? I think I could. I know I could.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning.
victory.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.